Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may promote the knowledge of all and good that is ours in Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an ambassador, and now a prisoner, also for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, and father I have become in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel, but I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own free will. Perhaps this is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owe you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it, to say nothing of your owing me, even your own self. Yes, brother, I want some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. At the same time, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I think that we are all law-abiding. I haven't heard about anyone. No one here has a reputation for being not law-abiding. Of course, that's as long as we're not talking about traffic laws. I don't know about you, but it's hard to drive the speed limit, which is a law. You can get run over if you try in certain places to drive the speed limit with cars coming around as fast as they can. But I think overall we're all pretty law-abiding. Well, a long time ago now, I was a youth minister, and my daughter was in the youth group. Both of my daughters were. But we were supposed to meet at a state park for a retreat. And on the way to the state park, I was leaving work and I was going. And my daughter, at that time, young people could pick up as many kids as they wanted. And so she had her Volkswagen full of kids and they were on their way. Well, she got pulled over for speeding on the way to the youth retreat with all of her friends who saw, and knowing she'd have to see her mother when she got there. Well, she started crying and the policeman felt sorry for her. I don't know what all was said, but he let her go. Well, the boys in the car were furious because a week or so before that, Brian was pulled over for the same problem, same amount of miles over the speed limit, and he had to pay $100. I guess that's the kind of discrimination we don't talk about today, where the girls get off. But anyway, so they were mad as they could be. Well, the kids come to this youth retreat. And I don't even remember how I sorted it all out, but I'm trying to be mom and youth director and do all of this with these kids. Well, we had a young pastor come, and he was going to do the speaking part of the retreat to the kids. And he was a great guy. I really liked him. But in his little spiel that night, he said that his wife bought him a radar detector because he got caught too many times speeding and it cost him too much on tickets. And I'm going, oh no, this can't be said. And other parents in the room were a little upset. I had some other parents. The parents kind of handled the youth group. But anyway, we were upset about this because I think it comes down to the simple matter of, do we do good because we should do good? We should obey the laws. We should drive the speed limit. Or do we do good because we might get caught? Which, get a radar detector and then you won't get caught, right? Well, I also thought, now who's going to learn the better lesson? Brian, who got a ticket? Or Libby, who got off? Don't know. Well, laws aren't always clear-cut either. It's why we have court systems. It's complicated. The law system is complicated. I love the old laws on the books, and so I looked some up this weekend, and apparently if you live in Tennessee, that it's illegal to hold office if you are known to be someone who's been in a duel. So any of you who have fought a duel, you cannot go to Tennessee and be and hold an office. But I love this one. It's still apparently on the books. Don't go to Pennsylvania if you plan to sell your child. If you're going to trade your child or sell them, don't go to Pennsylvania because it's a misdemeanor if you go there. But now, if you have a problem with eavesdropping, don't go to Oklahoma because that's also a misdemeanor. Eavesdropping, selling your child. Laws, and they're still on the books. Law system is complicated. Oh, but my favorite, I forgot to tell you, Kansas. If you like ice cream on your cherry pie, don't go to Kansas. It's against the law to have ice cream on cherry pie. The law system is kind of crazy at times, but it's also complicated and hard. And then we have the laws that require some extra thought, some discernment. Not only laws of the land, but laws in our own life. The rules that between right and wrong in our own lives. And so the common illustration is lying. We know we shouldn't lie, but do you go up to someone and say, gosh, that is the ugliest dress I've ever seen? It takes some thought and discernment from time to time. And then Sophie's Choice, the movie about the woman in the Holocaust who had to choose between her children. She had to do it. How do you do it? Sometimes there is no way to clearly know right from wrong. Although I do think ice cream on cherry pie, that is wrong if it is illegal. But then Jesus said, we have to go beyond the law. It's not just you cannot murder. It's that you cannot have hate in your heart. He also said you cannot, it's not just adultery. It's looking at someone else with lust. That is not your partner. So we have to go beyond the law. Well, this letter from Paul to Philemon, Kathy said, it's a beautiful letter. It's a personal letter. And the letter is going to Philemon to talk to him about a problem that Paul considers a problem, something that Philemon needs to think about. But it's interesting that he addressed it to more than just Philemon. And I think that often the choices that we make are a community problem. or they can be a community problem or not a problem. I think that when we face certain choices in our life, it can affect others. And in this case, I think Paul thought it might affect Philemon's sister and other people, another person, Archippus, but also the entire church that met in Philemon's house. So it's a personal letter concerning a personal problem that Paul sees, but yet it's going to a group. Now, Onesimus is the person that Paul's talking about, and we commonly say he's probably a runaway slave, and that's what I think, probably a runaway slave, and that's how I'm going to address it today. But there are scholars that think that maybe it was his brother. Maybe it was someone, a good friend, and things just went wrong. But for whatever reason, Philemon has some kind of power over Onesimus, because Paul is asking Philemon to be kind to him, to change how he's going to deal with him when Onesimus comes back into their community. And in truth, we all have some kind of power. An employer, we have power over the staff. We have power over our children. And we've been laughing. My blog talks about our children having power over us eventually, too. So there's always some kind of power struggle going on, whether it's big things or whether it's within our own lives. But for whatever reason, Philemon has power over Onesimus. How Paul met Onesimus, we don't know. Paul is apparently in prison at this time, it's believed, and somehow met Onesimus, and Onesimus has been a good, Paul was his mentor, maybe it's his student, but they've become close. And so he's addressed the entire community, because it is a matter that affects life and soul. It's a serious matter, and it could affect the church. It could affect others who own slaves. What we say and do, or what we don't say and do, has effects on others and can have public ramifications. This letter, because Paul did not say that you shouldn't have slaves, it just encouraged Philemon to let Onesimus come back in and maybe not punish him, but it doesn't say slavery is wrong. And therefore, in the U.S., many used this letter as proof that slavery should be okay in our country, in the early times of our country, because of what Paul did not say. But he appeals to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus, because slavery at that time in Rome was legal, and it was important in their Roman system. It's important to have free labor if you're going to be a wealthy place, if you're going to have power over other nations. And it is probably how we in the U.S. gained a lot of our wealth, because we had that free labor. But anyone in this case could be enslaved. It wasn't just a race issue. You could be enslaved if you owed a debt to someone else. So it could have been Philemon's brother. Maybe he owed a debt to Philemon and became his slave. Children could be given as indentured servants because the parent owed a debt. And if a slave escaped, they could be brutally punished, and all that was legal. Philemon was within his legal and moral right, because nowhere did it say that he could not do it according to the Bible, or the Bible that they had at that time, which would have been the Old Testament. But Paul begins his letter very lovingly, telling Philemon, grace to you, and I remember you in my prayers, and I thank you for the work that you're doing, and you're faithful, and I receive all of this with joy. But then in verse 8, he very quickly says, for this reason, though, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. So he very quickly goes to the problem at hand, and he appeals, but he appeals to Philemon rather than telling Philemon, and which he does later on say, "You owe me, remember." So he could have very well said, "You owe me. You have to take Philemon back in. And you, I mean, Onesimus back in. And you cannot punish him." But instead, Paul says, "I appeal to you to do what is right." He was asking Philemon to go beyond the law into an area that might be a little difficult, because in that time, if you have slaves and everybody finds out that one was freed, how that might that affect the group? If you are in the Roman system and they find out that you've allowed one to come back in, that's probably illegal to the Roman system. So it had a lot of ramifications for Philemon, but Paul is saying, go beyond the law. Do what is right. When I was pastor in Alabama, we had a daycare, and we were within the right. We paid minimum wages to our workers. It was hard, though, on them as we watched them struggling. Many of the daycare workers were moms, single moms, and they could hardly make it. And so we watched them, and we were a nonprofit. We took at-risk children. We were constantly trying to make ends meet. It was a tough, tough time for us as a daycare. But we felt convicted because these young women were having a tough time. So yeah, we could have paid minimum wage, but we figured out a way, and it was more the board, it wasn't me so much, but we figured out a way that we could pay above minimum wage. And then we figured out a way that we could give them some retirement. And then, and this was our daycare director, she found a program so that they could, the university would bring workers, teachers into our daycare and teach the workers so they could be certified. And we as a church took care of the kids while they did that. You see, we were called to go beyond the law. We were perfectly legal to have minimum wage and do the things we were doing. But that daycare and the board and the director were called to go beyond, to give more. So Paul asked Philemon to go beyond, no matter what the neighbors said, no matter what the government said, to go beyond what was legal. And so, in closing, I wonder, who are the slaves today that we need to accept as brothers? And in what ways do we need to go beyond the law, even though it might cost, and even though it might be countercultural? So let's ponder those questions as we pray. Oh God, open our eyes to see the ways we must go beyond to do what is right. Amen.